Thank you for passing that around. Everybody say thank you, JJ. God, you guys are good. Originally, we had asked Ziva before service if she would hand that out, but we didn't realize, and apparently she didn't realize that she was doing offering also as an usher. So can we thank Ziva for being an usher? Thank you, Ziva. How about you? Some people are like wanting to clap. They like this. Can we thank the rest of the ushers? Thank you, ushers. All right. Did you catch the little mandolin solo second song? Wasn't that nice? Yeah. Say thank you, Bill. Yeah. This is fun. Did you enjoy having the worship team up front? Good songs today. Say thank you, worship team. Very, very good. When you walked in this morning, were you greeted by somebody? Yeah? Yeah? Did somebody smile at you? Now, most of you hopefully got a bulletin. Did you get a bulletin? Yeah. All right, say thank you, greeters. You guys are catching on. This is good. Now, if you got kids and you drop them off at children's church, children's ministry, infant, any of those, you know it's not just babysitting. It is formation. So they can't hear you right now, but say thank you, children's ministry workers. Yeah, when you pick up your kids and they're still alive, make sure you thank the people who worked with them. Fair enough? Ah. Now, Christy and Nathan are in the back. They're working sound. They're working slides. They go unnoticed. Say thank you, Christy and Nathan.
Thank you, Christy.
I like this. I really like this. Mike came in early and he set up some coffee. Normally, Jerry and Scott do that. Say thank you, coffee team.
Thank you, coffee team.
Yeah. Was that hard? No. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, you thank me in October. That's enough. Well, every week is a week to be thankful, absolutely. But this week we have Thanksgiving with a capital T, yes? Yeah, again, if you didn't know that, you got a lot of work in front of you. My family has a tradition. My guess is that maybe some of you guys have the same tradition. Once all the food is cooked, once it's all on the table, before you pray, so we sit there and let it get cold, not that I'm bitter about that, but before you pray, everybody would go around the table and say one thing that they were thankful for from this past year. Have you guys ever done something like that? You just nod your head, okay? Most of you nod your head. Good. I grew up doing that, and I've passed it on to my family. So I was thinking back to the last several years of what I said thank you for. Okay, so 2016, my thank you was, God, thank you that I'm alive. In February, I had an appendix rupture, and it came out in May. So there was like a genuine like, oh, hey, thank you that I'm alive, Lord, right? In 2017, a year later, more visits to the hospital, a couple more surgeries, and I was thankful that I only lost the tip of my finger. So, you know, thank you, Lord, for that. 2018, I managed to stay out of the hospital. It was fantastic. See, you know what I did? I thanked God for that. Right? 2019. I'm going to return back to 2016 and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm alive. Right? My wife says I am the healthiest sick person that she knows. Indeed. Now, the last 3 or 4 years, it's been easy for me because there's like obvious things to be thankful for. But I remember growing up sometimes, it's like, what do I say? Like, maybe it was a rough, I mean, Thursdays with a capital T on Thanksgiving can be kind of hard. So have you ever struggled with something to be thankful for? I know it's like unfathomable. It's hard to think of that you wouldn't be thankful on Thanksgiving, but it happens. And, you know, someone in one of our favorite holiday classic movies knows that. So let's take a look at, I think it's Charlie Brown's sister.
Anyway, why should I give thanks on Thanksgiving? What have I got to be thankful for? All it does is make more work for us at school.
Did you catch that? Why should I be thankful on Thanksgiving? All it does is create more work. Do I get no amens out of that? Wow. Bless you. You know, you guys are probably the type that love putting in that extra work. I don't. Just saying, okay? I'm just being candid. If you are, that means you're more of a thankful person than I am, which is also probably very accurate. Would you still want to say thank you if after 2-3 days of work, of cleaning the house, of picking out that perfect outfit, would you still want to say thank you if one of your guests made fun of your outfit? Would you still want to say thank you if they criticized your home? Would you say thank you if they did not speak highly of the food you made? Would you say thankful to this person?
What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this? What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is this? Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
Would you say thankful to say thank you to her when she left your house afterwards? Thank you for leaving. Indeed. Oh, my. Oh, my. I wouldn't say. I mean, it'd be a struggle. So maybe that's where the idea of saying thank you would be a sacrifice. A sacrifice of thanks. I wonder if, well, I doubt it, but I wonder if the psalmists were thinking of a situation like this when they coined that phrase. We're going to talk about that, but first let's pray. Father, we want to be a thankful people. And on weeks like this coming week, where it is a day set aside for thankfulness, it can be easy. But perhaps the other 51 weeks out of the year, it's less easy. Either way, Lord, we want our hearts to be thankful. And we pray that you would help us to see how and why as we open your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in week 4 of a sermon series called Holiday Classics. In this series, we are looking at some of your favorite holiday movies and some of the themes that rise to the top from them. If you remember, 3 weeks back, we looked at another Charlie Brown movie, The Great Pumpkin, and we talked about the idea of expectation, of waiting, and of longing. 2 weeks ago, Jason and I co-taught on the idea, the theme of isolation and loneliness over the holidays. We saw some movie clips from Home Alone. Last week, Elena and I co-taught on the idea of what do you do in Thanksgiving if you don't like your family and you have to hang out with them? Something like that, right? I had somebody come up to me afterwards, straight-faced, very honest, and say, "Are you out of your mind? How would you preach about something like that?" Well, looking back over the last 3, we really haven't done happy clappy, but we're just trying to keep it real. Okay, so today we return to another favorite holiday movie, Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving. It's a good one. I would recommend watching it if you have time. You may relate to some of the characters, some of the thoughts that they have. I know I did as I watched it. And in this past week, I've been thinking a lot about the idea of Thanksgiving as a sacrifice, right? Thanksgiving as a sacrifice. Were you in church in the 80s and 90s? A couple of you, you remember that old chorus, "Thank you"? No, wait, that's the wrong one. I was going to say, "Thank you for giving to the Lord." We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of Thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. I thought about singing it. You guys are glad I didn't. Welcome. We're going with the spirit of thankfulness today. The words for that song could have been taken directly out of Jeremiah 33 or several other passages in Scripture. Passages such as Psalm 50, verse 14, which says this: "Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Keep the vows that you made to the Most High." Or Psalm 50, verse 23 says this: "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God." Now, those two verses are in the same chapter, and in this chapter in the Psalms, God and his people are having this dialogue. And at the beginning of it, the author is laying out how big, how grand, how awesome God is. And then the next several verses, God says, hey, this is great. I'm big, I'm grand, I'm God, but I don't need your animal sacrifices. I don't need your grain sacrifices. What I want is a people who are against sin, who are thankful in heart, who would make thankfulness their sacrifice. That's a good line. Make thankfulness your sacrifice. Now, another psalmist writes this in Psalm 116, verse 17. It says, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call on the name of the Lord. This psalm goes on to sound very similar to the song we just saw in Psalm 50. The next two verses say, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the house of the Lord, in the heart of Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving as a sacrifice. Is it? I mean, maybe I'm the only one that was struggling with that this past week, but I really wrestled with that because to me, sacrifice is something hard. It's something you have to give up. It's something you don't want to do. So when this phrase, let's bring us the sacrifice of thanksgiving, I'm like, I don't want to sacrifice. I don't like that. Well, if you look in these two psalms, if you look at you read them in context, and you see that there are several times that the people cry out this thankfulness to God for ways that God has rescued them. You know, maybe it's been from sin, or maybe it's been from some other peril, maybe some sort of life and death situation. And it's understandable then why they would say thank you, right? It's understandable why they would come to my table this Thursday and sit around and say, hey, God kept us alive another day. After April 11th, we're still ticking, right? So thank you. But is that a sacrifice to say it like that? I mean, again, sacrifice to me sounds like something hard, something I don't want to do, something I have to give up. But that's my lens. If somebody from the Old Testament were writing this or listening to these passages being read, it would make a lot more sense to them. And maybe this morning's less of a sermon and more of a, these are things that James learned this past week, and it makes more sense when we're all done. Okay, so I Googled, it's the best thing that seminary taught me, was Google. Where is, besides these two psalms and Jeremiah 33, where is this idea of a sacrifice of thanksgiving? And what came up was in Leviticus chapter 7. Okay, Leviticus, if you know the book, is a book full of laws, right? A book full of regulations. It's a book full of, if you do this, in order to be made right with God, you must do this. Sacrifices, a sacrificial system. So this Levitical law, we're in the middle of all these different sacrifices in Leviticus chapter 7, and we get to this thing called a peace offering. A peace offering. Listen to it and see if it makes more sense to you than it did when I read it like 50 times this week. Leviticus 7, verse 11 to 15. These are the instructions regarding the different kinds of peace offerings that may be presented to the Lord. If you present your peace offering as an expression of thanksgiving, the usual sacrifice, animal sacrifice, must be accompanied by various kinds of bread made without yeast, thin cakes mixed with olive oil, wafers spread with oil, cakes made with choice flour mixed with oil. Verse 13, this peace offering of thanksgiving must also be accompanied by loaves of bread made with yeast. One of each kind of bread must be presented as a gift to the Lord. I was enjoying these different types of bread over the last weekend because somebody gave me donuts, and then there was French bread, and then, sorry, sidetrack. We're still in Leviticus 7. It will then belong to the priest who splatters the blood on the peace offering against the altar. The meat of the peace offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the same day it is offered. None of it may be saved for the next morning. Now, if you're just reading that, does it make sense? Oh, good. Mike, could you come up and explain it? No. Don't nod yes, then. I was struggling with this, so I went to one of my favorite websites, not Google, Got Questions. GotQuestions.org. That one's actually really good. It's got some good insight. So it explained this peace offering where we first see the idea of a sacrifice of thanks. So a peace offering in the Old Testament law is described in Leviticus 7. It was a voluntary sacrifice given to God for three specific instances. First, a peace offering could be given as a free will offering, meaning that the worshiper was giving the peace offering as a way to say thank you for God's unsolicited, unsought generosity. It was basically just a way to praise God for his goodness. The second way a peace offering could be given was alongside a fulfilled vow. Makes Psalm 50 and Psalm 116 make a little bit more sense. A good example of this was when Hannah fulfilled her vow to God by bringing Samuel to the temple. On that occasion, she offered a peace offering. The peace in her heart towards God concerning that sacrifice, it was a way for her to say, hey, I hold no ill will towards you, God, because I made the sacrifice, so I'm giving it to you willingly. And the third purpose of a peace offering was to give thanksgiving to God for the deliverance in an hour of dire need. So this peace offering was paired with a thanksgiving offering. And was this a required offering to be made right with God? It was a voluntary offering. There was no need for propitiation, no need to appease God, no need to pacify him. This was completely voluntary, a way to say thank you for these different things. Lord, this is my sacrifice of thanks. Psalm 50 makes more sense now. Why God would say, I don't need your meat, I don't need your grains, I just want your thanks. Same with Psalm 116. I'm going to give thanks and fulfill my vows. It ties directly with this peace offering. Now, during my study this week, I shifted from, man, thanksgiving is a sacrifice. Sacrifices are hard. I don't want to do them, to thanksgiving as I get to do them. Sacrifice as, ooh, this is good. Like, this could be fun. This could be awesome. You guys were smiling at the beginning of the service when we started thanking everybody. You enjoyed that. That was a sacrifice of thanks. Now, I'll take you on a small rabbit trail. This just could help us think through Thanksgiving on Thursday differently. We know in our country, Thanksgiving with a capital T is celebrated because of like pilgrims and Native Americans and food, right? That's typically what we think of, and there's more to it. But listen to this idea that could tie back to the peace offering. Again, still from gotquestions.org. Most sacrifices in the Old Testament were not eaten by worshipers. But the peace offering that this sacrifice of thanks was part of, the peace offering was meant to be eaten. Only a portion of the animal or the grain was burnt. The rest was given back to the worshiper and to the poor and to the hungry. The picture here is that God provides for his people, both physically and spiritually, and his grace and goodness are throughout the offering. This peace offering was a way of providing, of showing God or telling God, this is how you are providing for us. A way to say thank you. Kind of fits with this meal that we get to eat on Thursday. A way to say thank you. Anyways, can we do this today? Can we still bring a kind of a supplemental thank offering with one of the other offerings that we're bringing before God, one of the other sacrifices? You can nod yes, but I'll remind you that we're no longer a part of a sacrificial system. So if you bring a goat for me to sacrifice, I'm going to have a new pet. If you bring me donuts as part of the grain offering, I will take a bite and give part of it back to you, just like this peace offering says. Okay? But we no longer have to offer those because Christ already served as that sacrificial offering. We see that in Hebrews 13, just so we know this isn't just an Old Testament idea of a sacrifice of thanks. Hebrews 13, 10 to 16 says this, "We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and beat the disgrace he bore." Bear the disgrace he bore. Verse 14, "For this world is not our permanent home, and we are looking forward to a home yet to come." Verse 15, "Therefore let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Sounds very similar to some of the stuff we read in the Old Testament, especially those last two verses. In fact, verse 15 reads a little bit better in the New American Standard. It says, through him, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, that word praise in the Hebrew, it means to continually offer up this act of praise, specifically a thank offering, okay? So through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a thank offering of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Sounds familiar, right? New Testament, Old Testament, tying together. And these verses fit really well with what the Apostle Paul wrote the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18 says this, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, and what that says. Hebrews 13, continually offering up a sacrifice of praise. This is what a sacrifice of thanks look like. It looks like being willing to say, all right, God, we appreciate all these different things. We're grateful for all these different things. And if you need help remembering what types of different things, you go back to the same three things that the peace offering in the Old Testament was sacrificed for, was brought for. God's unsought generosity. Thank you. We don't deserve everything that we get, right? God's rescue from sin. And who knows how many times he rescues us from physical death. I mean, Bill was in the hospital this past week, right? Last Sunday. Carolyn Tucker was in the hospital the last couple of days. God rescues us way more times than we are aware of. You know, and we need to be able to say thankful, to say thank you similarly when we fulfill a vow. And our vow has been, God, we want to follow you all our lives. So we can say, I'm going to fulfill that vow, and partly how I'm going to do that is being thankful. So can we offer this sacrifice of thanks to God today? You can say yes, okay? It'd be easy. I think it'd be easy for us to say, God, thank you for, and we fill in the blank. If I stopped there, we would probably be content and we'd smile and we'd say, all right, good, I can be thankful this week. You know, today's Sunday, I could probably be thankful to God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I could definitely be thankful on Thursday. After that, Black Friday hits and all bets are off, all right? But we could do it this week. We could be thankful to God. What if I pushed a little bit more and said, instead of just being thankful this week to God, let's be thankful for this season to God, the next 6 weeks, the next 7 weeks, the next 8 weeks. And what if I pushed it even beyond and said, not just thankful to God, but thankful to others? I know I'm close to crossing a line there, okay? But what if? Would that make an impact on the other people you're around if you were thankful? Some of you already are. That's just your DNA, okay? In fact, speaking of DNA, when we are thankful, things change. Frank's a doctor. He's going to understand this language. I don't, but I'm going to read it anyways, and I'm going to pretend I understand it. Okay? People who intentionally, this is from Nicole Spector, who wrote an article for NBC in 2018, people who intentionally cultivate gratitude, thankfulness, show greater neural sensitivity in the medial prefrontal cortex. Everybody's like, uh-huh, they sure do. This is a brain region associated with learning, rational thinking, and decision-making. Science shows, she writes, that we can train ourselves to experience thankfulness more often by simply paying attention to our lives differently. Attention is like the spotlight in the brain as to whatever we repeatedly bring attention to becomes stronger and brighter over time. So what if we pushed and said, don't just be thankful to God, be thankful to others. And as you do that over the next 6 weeks, you might become a more thankful person in your prefrontal cortex of the brain thingy. Right, Frank? Well said. Well said. So again, easy to say thank you, God, for whatever. But where could we find opportunities to say thank you to other people? Grocery store, right? Thank you for the person checking out your groceries. All right? Zach says no. Yes, Zach. Yes. You can say thank you to the person who holds the door for you as you're going into wherever. You can say thank you to the person who stops and lets you cross the street. You know, just thank you with a wave. One of my biggest pet peeves is when we stop to let people across the street, right, boys, and they don't wave. Every time that happens, I say, boys, learn a lesson, right? Just wave. We can say thankful, be thankful to people who stop there. We can say thank you to people who work with us or work for us. We can say thank you to the custodian in the gym. We can say thank you to the, this would be hard, but to the airport security who makes you take off your shoes and your belt and your hat and your wallet and then puts it through the little machine. They don't like doing that any more than you and I like taking off our shoes. So say thank you to them. Right? Say thank you to the UPS guy who's delivering on Sundays because, yeah, former FedEx, right? UPS, FedEx, USPS, say thank you to them. They don't want to be out there delivering on a Sunday, but they're delivering because you ordered Amazon Prime and it gets there in 2 days guaranteed. Right? Say thank you to them. Say thank you to mom and dad for making your lunches to go to school. Say thank you. You get what I'm saying? There are so many opportunities to say thank you to other people. I've known a few people who are extremely thankful to God for all that God has given them, and then they're jerks to other people. It doesn't work that way. Let's make a sacrifice of thanksgiving, yes, to God, but also to the people around us in these next, not just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but the next 6 weeks. And let's see what happens in our brain. Come January, will we be more thankful people? We're going to start this today. All right. If you didn't turn in your connection card in the offering plate, then take it out. If you did, don't worry about it. Grab a little scribble note that's in front of you. Okay. If you didn't take it out and you still have it, on the back, it's slightly different than it normally is. On the back, it says, God, I'm thankful for, and there's like 10 or 11 lines. Whoo, you can do it. Okay. You can do it. Okay, and then under that, it says three people I want to thank soon. Number one, who? For what? Write something down. Number two, who? For what? Write something down. Number three, you get where I'm going, right? We're going to have a time where, you know, sometimes when we sit and pray after the message, this time of reflection, we're going to have a time where we are able to smile and say thank you to God and begin to prepare to say thank you to others. Tim is going to come up. He's going to play quietly. This can be reflective, but this can also be joyous, okay? After he strums for a while, he's going to nod at the worship team, and they're going to come up. So worship team, you have to fill out yours quickly, okay? They're going to come up. They're going to sing a song. If you're not done writing yet, keep writing while we're singing. We're going to sit while we sing so that people can keep writing. All right, after that, I'm going to stand up and we're going to talk about communion. We're going to take communion today, and I'll talk about it when we get there. But for now, grab your connection card. If you don't have one, grab a scribble notes card and just write, God, I'm thankful for, and a couple of people you want to thank, and for what? Okay? I'm going to pray, and then we'll give you some time and space to do that. Lord, I thank you. And I don't start like that because that's often how we start prayers, but I truly do thank you that I get to be part of a group of people that loves you. And I'm part of a group of people that loves each other. And we serve a great and mighty God, one that is worthy of all of our praise. So we want to begin this morning, or begin the rest of this week this morning, by offering a sacrifice of thanks. We realize, God, maybe it might be hard for us to say thank you. Let's say we're in the middle of hard times right now. That might be hard to say, God, thank you for putting me right here because I know you're doing something. Or we might be in a place of ease where we can say, God, thank you that I've got family coming into town. Thank you that we have a roof over our head. Thank you that we'll have food on our table. God, it's easy for us to say thank you for saving us. We recognize that, but we can't ever be grateful enough for that. I ask that you would lay on the hearts of these people here reasons to be thankful to you, and also people who could benefit from hearing thanks from them. We want to be a people, Lord, who are thankful. So help us to be that. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, take just a couple of minutes and be writing on your connection card.
Jean said, if you're still writing, go ahead and continue writing. This next song is a little bit new, but it's really simple. You just repeat after us.